Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today, we are going to talk about deception. Now, when the apostles asked Jesus what would be the signs of his coming and the end of the world, the first thing Jesus said in Matthew 24:4 was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, this is the greatest sign of his return and the judgment to come.
That's a good point, Bill. You know, and the great deceiver is mentioned in Revelation 12:9. It states, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world." And did you catch that? He deceives the whole world. And we saw this take place throughout the whole world starting in 2020. And, you know, Bill, it depends on what information you're gleaning and getting,
right?
And it depends on if that information is laced with lies and also if truth is being censored.
Exactly.
So we have that, sadly, continuing in the whole world on a lot of different levels. But let's go back to this. First, we want to show you today how Satan deceives. And here are some biblical examples of Satan's involvement.
Right. In the Garden of Eden, Satan said to Eve in Genesis 3:1, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The Amplified Version says, "Can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Now, Satan twisted the first part of what God said in a subtle way. He posed it as a question. And then he stated that God said, "You cannot eat of any tree." This is not what God said. He said that you can eat of every tree except one. Satan not only questioned what God said, but turned it around to the opposite. The devil is the king of confusion. Now, this is what the verse actually says. Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, he also admitted the rest of what God said in Genesis 2:16. And here's what that says. "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Satan removed all the clarity and also the warning in God's statement and the final outcome if they did eat, their death. Then Satan goes even further and outright lies to Eve. In Genesis 3:4, he says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Then Eve said in Genesis 3:3, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, God didn't say, "Neither shall you touch it." So now Eve is also changing what God said.
So, Bill, we see that the way Satan operates is to first question God, then bring confusion to what he said, then turn it around to the opposite, and then outright lie.
That's right.
You know, we need to compare what we hear on the news and from society and from friends to what God's Word actually says. We must study the Word of God so that we know the truth and won't be deceived. And Bill, I like the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
And also, you know, Colossians 2:4 fits this as well. "I am telling you this so no one," this is Paul telling the church in Colossians, "that I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments."
That's right. But twisting the word, you know, that's the devil, what he does. You know, here's a second example of Satan's deception, which is in Matthew 4:6. Satan said to Jesus, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So Satan was quoting from Psalms 91:11, which says, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Satan added, least at any time, and he omitted to keep thee in all thy ways. So Satan will always add or take away from what the Bible actually says, since he is the great deceiver.
Yes, and it's interesting, Bill, too, that he uses scripture sometimes, right? Or
right.
A portion of scripture. You know, and the Bible forbids anyone, of course, to add or take away from any part of the Word of God. And that's throughout the Word. A few verses are Revelation 22:18, Deuteronomy 4:2, Deuteronomy 12:32, and Proverbs 30, verse 6. And if he can omit even one word, it can change the outcome of a verse and lead us astray or bring confusion.
Right. And one example is in John 7, verse 8 through 10. Now, in 33 different Bible translations, it says, "You go up to the feast." This is Jesus talking. It says, "You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. Now, you can see that by these 33 versions, Jesus said he would not go, but then he went. So it shows Jesus to be a liar. However, in the King James Version of the Bible, which is the most accurate version, it says this, "You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee, but when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret." So notice only one word omitted, the word yet. So by omitting that one word, it showed Jesus to lie. Now this is to discredit him as to being God, but to only being just a man. So be careful what version of the Bible you use. You know, and I have 33 versions listed here, but I'm just going to give you 7 of the ones that most people use. The Amplified, the ESV, the NASB, the NIV, the NLT, the RSV, and the WYC. Those are the most used. And like I said, 33 versions omitted that one word yet. So that was showing Jesus to lie.
Yes, I remember you did a teaching video on this as well.
Right.
But that's a good point. You know, it doesn't mean we can't use some of those versions to read, but we need to be comparing them really to the
right.
King James or New King James Version.
Exactly.
Right? And here is a third example in the Bible of Satan's deception, and this is in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 22:22, King Ahab is persuaded by his 400 lying prophets to go and fight in a battle. These prophets were influenced by most likely Satan himself. And it says in verse 22, "I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." The Lord allowed him to go, and he did just that. The 400 prophets believed the lie and persuaded the king to go, even though the real prophet of God, Micaiah, he had told him that he would lose the battle and not return. But the king believed the lying spirit and lost the battle, and he lost his life. So our lesson is not to believe the majority, even if they say they are prophets, as many can be deceived. In addition, the majority are on the broad path and simply flow downstream with society. They go along with what people are programmed to do. This wide road leads to hell, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14. But the narrow road leads to everlasting life.
Right.
You know, and that's such a good example, Bill, because and how much we really do need to depend on the Holy Spirit to decipher. You know, when we're hearing news, we're hearing information, we meet a person, sometimes you just get this sense right away, this person's lying.
Right.
Or I'm not going to follow that. Or they keep changing their story.
Right.
Like the news media has done.
Exactly.
So when that keeps happening, you know, something is amiss. Something is off.
Right.
And truth is not being told.
You know, in that example, when it said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, most commentaries say that was Satan himself standing before God. And so he entered these prophets and deceived 400, but yet, you know, see, people believe the majority instead of the one man that's told the truth.
Yes, you know? And that had to be in the king's heart also, that he wanted to believe the lie, which it is revealed that in the scripture. So that's why God allowed it too. The king wanted to be deceived, and he had itching ears. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear.
Right.
Right.
And he would not acknowledge the real man of God. He didn't like what that man had to say. You know, he was the godly man, and he knew it.
Yes.
He just didn't, like you said, he just didn't want to hear the truth. You know, here's a fourth example. In Zechariah 3:1, it says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments, which represented the nation of Israel. And yet the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 1161, says, Satan accuses Israel of being unfit to carry out its priestly function. Now, Satan is there to try and find fault with God's plan for Israel and for Joshua. Satan doesn't realize that even though Israel had sinned, God will accomplish the cleansing through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So our lesson is twofold. There is a devil that attempts to resist us and the things of God. We have to use our authority over him and resist him, instead of allowing him to stand against us. Also, we should not believe his lies that we are not clean or good enough to come to God. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to him, even as an unsaved person. He will clean us up and give us clean garments. He will, if we first just come as we are. You know, Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, so go ahead.
That's true. And in addition, as Christians, we are not righteous on our own account. Christ's shed blood cleanses us in God's sight. And that's why we have 1 John 1:9. We can confess our sins and receive that cleansing and receive forgiveness of our sin, even as a believer, right?
Right.
And it's when we trust in the work of the cross and not ourselves. As an unbeliever, coming to Jesus, you know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
That's right. Exactly.
But we don't stop repenting as believers too. Just, you know, when we do blow it, we do sin, we want to keep coming to God. And yes. Asking forgiveness and repent of our sin.
Always, yes. Now here's a fifth example. And this is an unusual situation in that one verse says Satan provoked David, and another says God moved David to number Israel. Here are those two verses. 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Then in 2 Samuel 24:1, it says, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So now actually both verses are true. God moved against David in a way that allowed Satan to provoke David. And this is possibly because it was in David's heart already to know the number of Israel. Satan did the provoking, but God did the allowing. Then the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 437, says, God allowed Satan to tempt David. Now, David knew it was forbidden by God to count how many military men in Israel. So even though he was provoked by Satan, and even though God allowed it, he should have obeyed God's word, and in addition, listened to the wise counsel of Joab. David was guilty of sin, as he said in 2 Samuel 24:17.
And Bill, the MacArthur Commentary, page 487, says, quote, the sin surfaced his proud heart. This census by David was to gratify his pride in the great strength of his army and consequent military power. He was also putting more trust in his forces than in his God, close quote. And also that goes along with James 1:14, which says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The temptation comes when we allow our lust to take over."
That's right. You know, but in this whole situation, God's overall reason for allowing this incident was he wanted to move against Israel because they had sinned. And that was his purpose. You know, the Bible warns us in 2 Corinthians 2:11 not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Then Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." So pride even affected David.
Yeah.
And David was a man of God after his own heart, but even David could be deceived.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, when sometimes, you know, there's people, Christians, that they really desperately want to marry a particular person, and God might be trying to show them, hey, red flags about this person, don't marry them, or other people, you know, other Christians or people speaking to them, and they don't want to hear it. It's already in their heart, I'm in love, I want this person.
Right.
Right? They're drawn away by their own desires. And so God's going to allow it. And then they end up blaming God. God, why'd you allow me to marry this person? Well, you wouldn't listen.
Exactly.
I mean, people want to blame God, but God will allow what we allow. We have free will.
Right.
You know, and so it's just interesting. That applies to everyday situations as well.
Right.
And also in Isaiah 14:13, it states that pride entered Satan's heart when he was still Lucifer in heaven. He thought he could be God. This was the first sin, and we need to guard ourselves against it. We are told in Proverbs 4:23 to guard our heart above all else, you know, with all diligence.
Right.
When we become successful in life, or we have our health and we have finances, we are to be especially careful at that time to not trust in our own abilities, but in God's provision and his goodness. You know, we need to realize it is God who gives us our talents, abilities, and our daily provision.
That's right. You know, and now let's go to a sixth example. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
And we notice first, Bill, that it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus in order to be tempted of the devil.
Right.
But God is not the tempter, as James 1:13 states. But God allows us to be tempted to see if we will stay true to his word. Right? He's testing our heart. He does not allow us to be tempted beyond our capability, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 states. And so the question is, will we believe the word of God, or will we fall for the devil's lies? Even Jesus had to pass God's tests. Of course, Jesus passed perfectly those three temptations from Satan.
Right, of course. You know, we learned by the example of Jesus that we also have to quote the word of God in order for Satan to flee. He will return time and time again, but we must continue to stand on God's word. Now let's give a seventh example, final example. In Acts 26:18, it says, this is what God had said to Paul in speaking to him about his ministry regarding the Gentiles. Quote, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Close quote. So we notice that people can be under the power of Satan because they have closed their own eyes, as Jesus said in Matthew 13:15. Satan can blind and deceive a person, but they still have their free will to choose. Now, God sent Paul to open the eyes of the Gentiles. How do we do this? Well, first, by praying for individuals, for God to soften their hearts, as Ezekiel 36:26 states.
And also, we ask God to send people to them who are Christians that they would respect and they'd listen to in order to share with them the way of salvation. And in addition, we ask for God to give them dreams and visions to keep their soul back from the pit, as Job 33 states. So we can pray, we can use the word and stand on scripture for them. And we watch for the opportunity to lovingly explain to them their need to repent of their sin and turn to God by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those who do not know Jesus will believe lies, live in confusion, and they will end up going to hell.
That's right. You know, David said in Psalm 71:1, "Let me never be put to confusion." Now, this should be our prayer also, especially because we are living in the days where all truth is being censored and erased. There are continual lies about everything. Vanity is at a peak, and deception has become the norm.
So true, Bill. And I just want to go back to when we were talking about standing against the enemy and resisting him with the word. The first part, too, of the verse is we have to submit to God.
That's right.
First. So our heart being in submission and to obey him is a critical part of not being deceived.
Exactly.
His obedience.
Right. Being submitted to all of his word, not just the little pieces we might want to obey, but all of it.
Exactly. And growing in our faith till we know his word and know those areas that we may be, you know, missing.
That's right.
You know, so, okay. So just the overall recap today, we can see that deception occurs when God's word is changed. There's an addition or an omission of even one word, then confusion and deception can come.
That's right.
Deception can occur by bowing to the pressure of the majority or blindly following the crowd. Deception can occur when we listen to the lies of the devil and agree with the thoughts he brings to us instead of what you said, Bill, to resist the enemy and cast those down. When we do this, we act contrary to God's word and we get into trouble. And this occurs, again, when we don't guard our heart. And also, deception accompanies pride.
That's right. You know, we have to take the word of God, like Jesus did, and quote it to the devil when he comes. So that's the area of spiritual warfare, is casting down imaginations. But we have to have the word in our heart so we know what to say, so Satan can flee. You know, you've got to read the word. So it's so important. We resist deception with prayer and knowing God's word. Only the word of God is the truth and brings light and clarity of thought. You know, Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure." Then 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So value God's word and obey it, and you will never be confused or deceived.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.